Gotcha, and the warmest of warms to this week's The Real Enjoyment of Jazz with me, Mike Wynn. We're going to start with two of jazz's biggest names who seemed totally different personalities, but played together beautifully. How beautifully? Just listen to this. That was Poinciana, a song most associated with pianist Randy Weston. But here, it's a piano-less quartet, the piano-less quartet, of Jerry Mulligan, baritone, with Chet Baker, trumpet, Carson Smith, bass, and Chico Hamilton, drums. Early Jan 53 at the Hague Jazz Club in Hollywood. The quartet was relatively short-lived, as Mulligan loved arranging for larger groups, so more horns were added over time. Jerry and Chet were together from mid-52 through to mid-54 and only broke up then, as when Mulligan was paroled following a drugs-related prison stretch, Chet had become a poll winner and asked for an increase in his weekly pay from $125 to $300. Jerry said no, rather short-sightedly, and Chet went his own way and was, within months, pulling in $1,000 a week and then $2,000. You'll know this next song very well. Thank you. Funnily enough, this Michel Camilo album called Through My Eyes and recorded in Stamford, Connecticut, October-November 96, starts with Poinciana. It is a fabulous album, as well as Herbie Hancock's best-known song, Watermelon Man, obviously. There are also such faves as A Night in Tunisia, Perdido, Song for My Father, St. Thomas, My Little Suede Shoes, Michel Camilo, piano, Anthony Jackson, bass guitar, Cliff Almond, drums. A more threatening version of Watermelon Man than Herbie's, I'd say. Not someone you'd want to bump into on a dark night. Not that bumping into anybody on a dark night is a good idea. Here's this much-promised Bill Frisell song. As with any, in fact, as with all Bill Frisell albums, you expect the unexpected. Three quarters of this Blue Note album called Harmony are vocals. In this case, just the one singer, Petra Hayden. Bill on guitar, of course, and by the way, Bill avoids singing on any of the 14 songs here. Hank Roberts, cello, Luke Bergman, baritone guitar. Recorded in Portland, Oregon, 2019. The song, one we all know well, Woody Guthrie's Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Talking of well-known songs, I tend to feel as though I must apologise before playing some songs, simply because they are so astronomically popular that maybe you're sick of them. Here's an example, but hope it doesn't make you vomitous. Thank you. And yes, there's a very good reason why Danny Boy, also known as Londonderry Air, is so well recorded and so popular. Beautifully paired back arrangement there, just Alan Vache clarinet, Howard Alden guitar, recorded Feb 98 in Orlando, Florida. The rest of this Nagel Heyer CD called Mrs. Vache's Boys is a sextet. Mrs. Vache's other son, Warren, cornet and flugelhorn, Eddie Higgins piano, we must feature him again soon, Phil Flanagan bass and Ed Metz Jr. drums. Don't think that needed me to apologise before playing it, did it? Here's an Ellington compo as a gentle lead-in to our Ellington slot. And, coincidentally, another Nagel Heyer album. This one is called Cooking by Butch Miles and Friends, recorded in Germany at the America House, Hamburg, November 94. All 95. The liner notes clumsily quote, both years. Duke Ellington's Azalea, Randy Sandker playing beautifully on trumpet, Harry Allen tenor, Howard Alden again on guitar, Frank Tate bass and the leader, Butch Miles drums. Here's the Duke, and we're off back to Jan 46. And that's from Duke Ellington's famous Treasury Series ABC broadcasts, sponsored by the US government to sell war bonds to help fund the war effort, and by this stage, 46, the rebuilding of the US finances after the war. This is Jan the 20th, 1946, the second ever outing for Duke Ellington's song The Suburbanite, second of not many, as its inclusion in the band's book didn't see out that year. A feature for tenorman Al Sears. By the way, the rest of the reeds were Jimmy Hamilton, Otto Hardwick, Johnny Hodges, Harry Carney. Sears joined the band mid-44, pretty much taking over Ben Webster's role. Sears stayed until early 49 before leaving and being replaced by two short-termers, Charlie Rouse, who, as you know, went on to play with Thelonious Monk and Don Byas before Paul Gonsalves took over the chair permanently. The Suburbanite was recorded at the Civic Opera House, Chicago. We'll come forward just 4 years to 1950. Was the Barbara Carroll Trio, Barbara Piano, Danny Martucci Bass and Herbie Wasserman Drums, Feb 1950. Martucci was just standing in for this one recording session as Barbara's husband, Joe Shulman, was her regular bass player. We heard The Puppet That Dances Bebop. Barbara Carroll writes one of the songs on this recording date and it's called Barbara's Carol. Here's one of the Brits who emigrated to the US to further his jazz career and succeeded, probably beyond his wildest dreams, Victor Feldman. Thank you. Brazilian Fire, a Victor Feldman compo recorded in L.A. July 73, a great mix of samba and bop, and everyone in the quartet got a chance to solo, although briefly. Feldman piano and vibes and percussion on some of the songs on the album, Tom Scott flute here, but alto and tenor elsewhere, Chuck Domenico bass and John Gurin drums. The album is called Seven Steps to Heaven. Yes, that's one of the songs on this album, Victor Feldman's most famous compo from his days with Miles Davis. Victor started out as a drummer, moved to vibes and then piano, but still often played all three instruments at gigs or in the studio. He died of an apparent heart attack at just 53. Hey, it's the Buddy Rich Big Band. This is October 73, and a lot of jazz at that time sounded funky like this, ideal as a theme song for a TV detective series or similar. Senator Sam, written and arranged by Ernie Wilkins, the Buddy Rich Big Band, in October 73. That must be about the time I saw the band, the only time I saw the band. This was a 17-piecer, and if one of the best jazz drummers ever isn't enough to propel this band along, Buddy adds the great Ellingtonian drummer Sam Woodyard on percussion. Within a few months, Buddy had gone from just one guitarist, as we heard here on Senator Sam, to three, and funky got funkier. So we're going to have a gentle piano-bass drums lineup next. Great day. Was the very little-known pianist Adelaide Robbins. She only ever recorded four songs for the Savoy label, so has never made a whole LP's worth of music. But we enjoyed her boppish rendition of Great Day, with Wendell Marshall, bass, and Teddy Sommer drums, recorded May 56. I think we need someone now to give us a bluesy version of one of Miles Davis's compos. We'll be right back. Miles Davis has written a number of simple blues that just work perfectly. I say simple, that's not meant to be derogatory at all. They sound beautifully simple. I love them. We heard All Blues, and I'd put our theme song Milestones and So What up there with that as well. This is a Milestone album, by the way, recorded by Rudy Van Gelder, October 2000. Two completely different lineups. On All Blues, it was a quartet. Jimmy McGriff on the Hammond B3, the leader and the only consistent between the two recording sessions. Bill Easley, tenor, and I've just noticed he was also on the second recording session. Apologies. Wayne Boyd, guitar, Don Williams, drums. And this quartet was Jimmy's regular working band. Next, a Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra album featuring Wynton Marsalis, of course, and it's called Big Train. This is a bullet train, stylish and quieter than others.
Ha ha ha!
Trains have always intrigued jazzers. In the US, many bands travelled by train between gigs. Some, like Ellington, also used them as mobile hotels. This Wynton Marsalis-led Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra Columbia album gets some truly amazing train sounds from the band. The old-fashioned steam trains, that is, not this cool, slick bullet train. This was recorded in New York City, December 98. And in fact, I'm going to change the playlist right now. And we're going to close with All Aboard. It's a big, old-fashioned train getting underway. The wheels are squealing against the rails. Pistons are thrusting slowly to start, and then they speed up. A big train is getting underway. And we're off. We don't need to go all the way with them, just as far as time allows. Yes, it does seem a real shame to have to get off that train, but it's the end of the show, I'm afraid. As ever, huge thanks for joining me. Hope you've had fun, and equally hope you'll be back with me, Mike Wynne, next week for another The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. Until then, please take care. Be well.